Thank you for downloading this podcast from Emmanuel Church Lurgan. At Emmanuel, our vision is to help rewrite the story of Craigavon, Ireland and the nations with the good news of the Kingdom of God. We hope you enjoy listening to this message.
Yeah, it's great to be with you this morning. How great is it to see so many of our young people involved in our church family, in our church service this morning? It's great, isn't it? Good. As part of Transition Sunday, and as one of the youth pastors here in Emmanuel, I just want to bring some of my thoughts this morning around youth culture, around going after this generation, and then at the end, we're going to hear from two of our young people as well. So, are you up for that this morning?
Yes.
Good. It's going to be fun. So, just to warn you, this is not so much a teach or a sermon, really, this morning. This is more kind of my thoughts of where we're at and where I feel God leading us in terms of going after this next generation. And I started typing this talk out this week and was just typing pages and pages. I talk about this all day because this is my heart. This is what I love doing, youth ministry. So you're just going to get a short snippet of that. I was chatting with Rick and Dave and Phil, and we're like, how many words can I actually get into this talk this morning? But I've had to cut some out. So you're getting a snippet this morning. If I was to give us a name, I'll probably call it like Robbie's Youth Rambles or something like that this morning. So that's what you're getting today. So let me just start off by kind of laying the land in terms of youth ministry at this current moment of history. We are probably in the West witnessing one of the greatest spiritual declines in human history. There's a Barna Group. Their Christian research is probably the most in-depth, well-respected, and accurate research, and they say that statistically we have reached the point of irreversible decline in the Western Church. And that sounds like a big statement, but listen to these statistics. In 2011, in the census, 45% of young people in the UK identified themselves as Christian. Only 10 years later, 27% of young people identified themselves as Christian in the UK. And each generation is becoming more and more secular in its outlook. And we work with other youth groups and other youth organisations in our jobs. And it's fair to say that for the majority of youth groups, they are dwindling. Youth ministry, for the most part, is in the decline, like much of the Western Church. And the Barna Group also reported that 12% of teens in the UK are committed Christians, and only 14% of teens in Ireland are committed Christians. This is not enough. This is not God's heart for the church. This is not God's heart for this generation. And so the church is emptying of young people, and we can either just brush away that fact and ignore it, or we can let the sting of these statistics propel us into action. And so I've not come here today, though, to give you a bunch of depressing stats, all right? While these stats are haunting and hard-hitting, and it all sounds very depressing, and so it should, I have hope. This morning, we have reached a point where no program, no celebrity pastor, no event is going to cut it. We literally need an outpouring of the Spirit. We need a move of God. And we live in a society where people have abandoned God to go after the way of the world. And people are actually realizing they're not experiencing the utopia that the world offers them. And more people are becoming disillusioned with what the world has to offer. So while young people are abandoning the church, we actually have a generation on our hands that are searching for meaning, searching for answers, searching for purpose. And Youthscape's most recent research said that while less and less young people are calling themselves Christian, this generation is open to God, open to prayer, and open to Jesus more than ever before. And Barna's research supports this as well, who calls this generation the open generation. This generation are open to the things of God. And so I don't have a fear-based mentality over all that our young people are facing. I have a hope-based mentality because they're open to the things of God. And we have on our hands one of the greatest missional opportunities in centuries right on our doorstep with this generation. And so this morning, I just want to make two suggestions to us of what I think we can start stepping into if we want to see the breakthrough that we long for in this generation. And so we're going to be sticking with alliteration this morning. We're going to be with the P's. So we want to be a people of prayer. I genuinely believe from the bottom of my heart, this is what God wants to lead us into for this generation. from leading in youth ministry for like the last 9 years and being a youth pastor for 4 of those years, I've come to realize that above all the programs, above all the talks, above all the events, all the worship sets, all the weekends away, above all of that, the best and the most important thing that I can do as a youth pastor for any of our young people is to pray for them, is to pray for them. And a lot of these stats that I've shared with you are harrowing. And sometimes we literally just need to get on our knees and call out to God for a generation. And prayer is not the only thing that we should be doing for them, but it is the best thing that we can be doing for them. And when I think about praying for this next generation, I'm led to the Lord's Prayer, where the disciples, they ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he gives them the Lord's Prayer. And in this prayer, he says these words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is how Jesus teaches us to pray. He teaches us to pray for the next generation, that his kingdom would come in this next generation, that his will would be done in their lives. And that's what we need to be praying into this generation. And what's so fascinating about this is actually like God could do all of this on his own. God can bring his kingdom himself, but he chooses to partner with us. He chooses to use our prayers. Why else would Jesus teach us to pray in this way if our prayers didn't matter? If God was just going to bring his kingdom in his own way, in his own time, why would Jesus tell us to pray in this way? No, our prayers actually move God to act. Our prayers move God to act. It's almost like God is sitting in the spiritual realm, sitting in the heavenly realm, waiting for the prayers and the cries of his people to rise up to him, to direct him to how he's going to move in the world. And so we need to be a people who are praying the kingdom into this generation. Our prayers move God to action. Our prayers speak to the heart of God. They call upon his compassion and they urge him to move. And so we need to be a people who usher in the kingdom of God and God's will into the next generation through our prayers. God does his best work in the world through prayer. And he will do his best work in this generation through our prayers. We all know people that have been prayed into the kingdom through the generations. I'm probably a product of like grandparents and parents praying me into the kingdom. And this matters. This is important. When we pray, his kingdom is established more fully and more powerfully. When we pray, his kingdom comes more fully and his will is done, bringing more of heaven to earth. And when we pray, the work of Satan is forced back. And this generation will be fuller and brighter with the kingdom of God. Earth will be better prepared for the coming of Jesus, and hell will be robbed of many of its victims because we have lived to pray. We need to be a people of prayer. There's an early church father called Chrysostom, and there's a quote that I love that he shares about prayer. Now he says this, prayer has subdued the strength of fire. It has calmed the rage of lions. It has hushed anarchy to rest. It has extinguished wars. It has appeased the elements. It has expelled demons. It has burst the chains of death. It has expanded the gates of heaven. It has relieved diseases. Prayer is an all-efficient, extensive treasure, a gold mine which is never exhausted. It is the root, the fountain, the mother of a thousand blessings. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. Prayer moves God to act, and so we need to be a people of prayer because it's in prayer that we bring the needs of this generation, of which there are much, before the one who has the ability to supply all their need. And Jesus said that without me, you can do nothing. We can't win this generation on our own. We need God. We need Jesus to be moving. And so we come to him in prayer. God, only God can move mountains. Okay, only God can move mountains, but our prayers and our faith move God to act. And we need him to move mountains in this generation if we want to see the breakthrough that we long for. Many of you will be familiar with the Hebrides revival stories. We talk about this often in our church, but just to kind of revisit it this morning, there are two elderly sisters here on the screen called Peggy and Christine Smith. Peggy was 84 and was blind, and Christine was 82 and was severely crippled with arthritis, and they lived in a cottage on the Isle of Lewis, just off Scotland. And they recognized that the church wasn't thriving as it once was. They were kind of distressed and troubled by the growing trend of young people toward worldliness. And so it became clear that an outpouring of God, an outpouring of the Spirit, was the only way that was going to reverse this situation. And so they believe God gave them a promise in Isaiah 44, where it says, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. And so they inclined their hearts to pray, believing that God would be faithful to this promise and this word that he had given them. And so they spoke to their pastor at the time, and the decision was made that they were going to pray through the night twice a week, believing for a move of God for that generation. And so while the church met twice a week through the night to pray, Peggy and Christine in their cottage rose and prayed at their bedsides through the night twice a week. 18 months passed. There was no sign of God answering prayer, no sign of him hearing their prayers or moving in any way. And one night, a young man lifted his hands to heaven and prayed Psalm 24, 3-4. And he says, "Are my hands clean? Is my heart pure?" And that night, the Lord displayed his holiness and filled that place where they were meeting, that thatched barn, with his presence. And as God's people humbled themselves and brought their needs before him, a widespread revival broke out between 1949 and 1952 in response to the prayers that his people were praying. And this is what we need. Young people who were walking away from the church led two elderly women to catalyze a movement of prayer, and God brought revival through a young man. This was only 72 years ago. You can read about these stories, and this is what we need today. Like, we are not the crazy ones for believing for revival, for a move of God. Like, he's done it all throughout the Bible. He's done it all throughout church history, and he's doing it today. And whilst I shared some, like, kind of haunting stats there at the beginning around the church in the West, actually, that's not representative of what God is doing around the globe. In the last 20 years, Christianity has been growing at a rate of 2%. That is double the rate of the population growth. God is moving all around the globe. There's millions of people coming to Jesus in China and in the Middle East. There's a reported 70,000 salvations on the front lines in Ukraine. People are worshiping Jesus in stadiums in South America. God is moving all around the globe, and we want him to move here in the West. We want him to move in this generation, and we believe that he can do it. And so we come before God in prayer, because whenever we do that, we come before the Lord of heaven and earth, believing that he can bring change and transformation to a generation. And so we need to be a people who cover this generation in prayer, believing that God will bring his kingdom and have his way in their lives. And so we need to be a people of prayer, and we need to prioritize people over program, all the P's this morning, people over program. I'm at the age now where a lot of my friends are having babies, they're having children, and when I look at these babies and these young kids, I think, what type of church are they going to inherit in the next 10, 20, 30 years' time? What type of faith are we passing on to the next generation? And when I think about passing on my faith to another generation, I think about the importance of prioritizing people over programs. And so I just want to do something quickly here, okay? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to ask you to say anything or do anything. I simply, if you're able, want you to stand if you find yourself in one of these categories, okay? And then at the end, we'll all sit after that. So if you could stay standing if you are in one of these categories. Would you stand this morning, if you are a parent or a guardian of anyone aged 10 to 25, would you stand this morning? Would you stand if you have a sibling between the age of 10 to 25 this morning? Would you stand if you have a grandchild between the age of 10 to 25 this morning? Would you stand if you have close friends whose kids are between the age of 10 to 25? Would you stand if you have a niece or nephew or cousin between the ages of 10 and 25? Would you stand if you work with children between the age of 10 to 25? Okay, this is just a couple of categories that I've rhymed off. Look around the room. We cannot reach all of the young people that are represented here this morning with our programs. We simply can't. You are the guys who are doing life, who are journeying with this generation of young people. What are you passing on to them? What are you passing on to them? You can take your seats. Some more stats for you. 42% of teenagers in Ireland said that their mothers have a positive influence on their Christianity, with 15% saying they have a negative influence. 30% of teenagers in Ireland said that their fathers have a positive influence on their faith, with 18% saying they have a negative influence. 24% said their teachers had a positive influence, with 23% saying they had a negative influence. Your influence with young people can make or break their journey of Christianity. Adults who care about young people's spiritual development could play a key role in them developing a sincere faith and could redefine the spiritual landscape of a nation. And Garvey Williams says this: there's a significant opportunity for older Christians who will live out their faith with integrity and authenticity, people who will live like Jesus and point to Jesus. And this is not about trying to get more people onto our teams. This is not about trying to get more youth leaders into our programs. We have an amazing group of youth leaders. Our teams are sweet. Our teams are good. This is about your influence with young people. This is about the young people in your sphere of influence. What are you passing on to them? The young people in our youth groups that are passionate and on fire for God usually have a close adult influence in their life who is on fire for Jesus. And through no fault of our own, probably the generation above me, my generation, and the generation below me have inherited a faith that is safe and comfortable. Young people's imagination of what God could do in their lives has been reduced because they've been modeled a life of safety and comfort. This island used to be a place that sent missionaries out into the world. There were people that left the comfort of their homeland to go and bring Christianity to the pagan tribes that swept across Europe after the fall of the Roman Empire. They reignited faith in those who had reverted back to paganism. And we long to see a generation of revolutionaries rise up once again. This is what we need. We need a generation of young people who are as radical on a Monday morning as they are on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning. We need a generation of missionaries and evangelists and church planters. We need young people who are going to pray around our streets and our towns, ushering in the kingdom of God. We need those young people who are going to care for the hurting and the dirty and the dying. We need kingdom-orientated entrepreneurs. We need future pastors and preachers to rise up. We need young people who are lit ablaze with the fire of God. We need young people who are going to live a life of faith and risk that makes us feel uncomfortable. This is what we're dreaming for. This is what we're believing God for. And if we're believing God for that, then we need to ask ourselves, what are we modeling to them? What are we modeling to this generation? Am I speaking to myself in this? Am I modeling a life of safety and comfort, or am I modeling a life of faith and risk to the next generation? The faith that you carry in this church will be replicated in future generations. What are you passing on? Become a follower of Jesus that is burning. And if you think that this isn't important this morning, look at what the Bible says. That's a bit small if you can read it. About young people in the kingdom of God. Joseph was 17 when he was sold into slavery, but he stepped into God's call in his life even though it was risky. Samuel was roughly 10 years old when he heard the voice of the Lord call his name. Josiah became king at the age of 8, and he led Israel to a national revival by the age of 20. David defeated Goliath, and he was roughly aged 15. Jeremiah was around 14 when the word of the Lord burned in his spirit. That's the age of our third years. Imagine a third year stepping from Vital Sunday in the church, and the word of the Lord is burning in their spirits. How uncomfortable would that make us feel? Esther was estimated between 12 and 14 when she confronted the king of Persia in order to rescue her people. Mary carried and gave birth to the Messiah at the age of 14. Jesus' disciples were estimated roughly between the ages of 13 and 30. These are the people that birthed and established the church. Because of those people is why we're standing here today. They were young people. Jesus said, "Let the little ones come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom." We cannot ignore the fact that young people have something significant to offer when it comes to the kingdom of God. And when you look throughout revival history, generally young people have something significant to offer. And we believe that this generation of young people are key to what God wants to do in our time and in our day. So what are you passing on to them? I just want to invite Joel Adamson and Casey Cousins up as we finish off in a few moments. So guys, you can come on up. There's a verse that that God kind of laid on my heart a few years ago that I've been carrying for years of what I believe God wants to do in this generation of young people that we are raising up. And it says this in 2 Timothy 2:4, and this is the Passion Translation. It says, "For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him." And I believe that God wants to raise up a generation, an army of soldiers who are going to divorce themselves from the distractions of this world, say, actually, what the world has to offer doesn't satisfy me. I'm not satisfied with that. I want to live a life of faith and risk, one that honors God, one that pleases God, one that glorifies him, and one that makes his name known in the nations. This is what we believe God is doing, and we are starting to see signs of this. We're starting to see glimpses of this, and standing beside me are two of these soldiers that God is raising up in our youth who have not been satisfied with the world and have gone after living a life that pleases God, the one who has chosen them. And so, Joel, if you go first, would you just tell us a wee bit just about yourself, what school you're at, what you're doing, all that there, your age?
Well, I'm 17. I go to Lurgan College over in Lurgan. I'm a play football. You probably know me as, well, my dad probably thinks you know me as Lanny's son. That sneaky guy that takes all your money. Yeah.
And where would Lanny be today?
And my dad's lying up on the shores of Torviak today. So, yeah.
Very good. And Casey? Sweet. Is that mic on? No, here. Give us a sec. You take that one.
There we go. So, Joel, firstly, tell us a wee bit about how, like, around this verse, you have been divorcing yourself from, like, the distractions of the world, how you've been separating yourself from the world in order to follow God with all that you have. Tell us a bit about your journey with that.
Well, it all started with being intentional. So, you know what the scripture says, seek and you will find. But for a long time, I would have been what you call a lukewarm Christian, but I call it a cowardly Christian, where I would have my faith in one box and then live whatever way I wanted in my other ones, in my football, with my friends or in school. And if you're one of my teachers, you know I'm still a bit of a pest in school.
Or your youth worker.
It all started with being intentional. One day on Sunday, you know, you go to church on Sunday and you'd think, oh, I really want to dive into this. I really want to give my all to God. And then by the time you get your cup of tea after church, the fire's died out. But this Sunday, I decided maybe I'll pick up one of Robbie's 50 young men devotional books and I'll have a read. And it attacked me right away. It made clear that you have to make this your identity. It has to be your whole entire thing. It has to be your whole life. So this challenged me. I started thinking about ways I could promote this in my life, and a few of my favourite ways are, if people ask me what on my weekend I'm doing, I'll say I'm going to church, not that I'm going to football. I'll jokingly say to some of my friends that I wouldn't have thought were saved, would say, are you coming to church this Sunday? Are you coming to church? And maybe it'd make them uncomfortable, but maybe they'd come anyway. So, or if my mates at football are using the Lord's name in vain, I'd say, you know, don't blame the Lord. All he done was love you.
You must have learned that from Dixie.
Yeah. So just stuff like that, where I was promoting God in my life, I was putting it at the front of my mind. And this is my new favourite way. So, you know what young people are like with their alcohol and getting on, you know. So going to Bennett, you know, that place in Portadown, well, the thing I like to do is whenever I bring them home, I subtly put on worship music in the car and subdue them into Christianity. You know? But putting God first in my life, I knew that it would come with getting the mick taken out of him. You know, we have a friend, he's actually here today, and we took the mick out of him for 2 weeks for wearing a different pair of shoes than the rest of us, so stuff like that. But the fact is, everyone thinks about God, whether they seem like it or not, and if I'm the only one out of my mates that goes to church, I want to be the one that mentions God to them. I have to be. And I just felt called upon by God to mention it to them, yeah.
Good. And Casey, for you, tell us a wee bit about how you've started in your journey of kind of separating yourself from the world in order to live a life that honours God and pleases God.
Well, like, I'm kind of the same. I feel like in life, it's so hard. Like, yeah, I have, like, three settings. I've got my home, my church, and school. And it's so hard to, like, bring God into all three of them. It's so easy to feel God's presence, like, when everyone's worshipping in church. And, like Joel says, it's so hard to keep that fire burning all the way. And I'm definitely guilty of, like, going into school and completely forgetting about something that happened on the Sunday because everyone else was doing it, so it's okay that I can... I don't need to feel ashamed about praising God, but then going into school, you kind of diet down a bit. And I think over when we were on the Vital Weekend, sometimes we take advantage that God's going to wait for us. No matter what we do, God's still going to be there for us. So we take advantage of that. We're like, oh, I'll say that, or I'll approach this situation in that way, but God's still going to be there. But over the Vital Weekend, we were learning about Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And for Jesus being the life, I feel like we're learning about God is the only way that we can get full fulfillment in life. And just as much as God wants us, we should want him just the same. Like, we should want him in our lives and in our hearts and just in our everyday situations. And just even in the small things, maybe not talking about someone or mentioning that you're going somewhere on Friday night just to people that in your class. And just saying, just simply not saying things about other people can really be important.
Awesome. So last question for the both of you. So you've both been on a journey of kind of separating yourself from the world and kind of choosing to live for God and choosing to go all in. As you've started to go all in for God and give him your all, how has he started to work through your lives as you've done that? So Joel, you go first.
As my faith grew, I sat down one of Robbie's devotionals and I actually picked up a journal and I started journaling all my prayers and what I was reading. And what I ended up praying more than anything else was to get opportunities to speak to people more about Jesus. And this has led to two of my friends getting saved in the last 6 months.
Amen.
And about six or maybe seven more of them coming to church occasionally and planting the seed in their heart, because I know and you know what that feeling of peace and satisfaction living in the Lord is like, but they don't. And to share, I'd feel almost selfish not telling them about it, you know. Mm. And just sharing that love that Jesus has for me with other people, that's how I've been spending my time recently.
And Casey?
Well, one of my friends who's in school, obviously, for me in my life, I've went to church since I can remember. I went here all my life, so I've kind of grew up in it, and I, don't think anything's different. You go to church on a Sunday, go to youth on a Friday night, talk about it at home, and talk about it with some of my friends in church. But one of my friends in school who isn't a Christian, who probably hasn't had probably ever stepped foot in a church, me and my other friend, Abby, we were talking to her and we were like, oh, come along to Vital, it's pretty chill. But we didn't know that night was going to be the encounter night. So it was quite intense because everyone was tears, hands in the air, and she was probably thinking what's going on. Then that night... it wasn't definitely just me, it was we have a big friend group in life group, and we just got around her and I said to her, like, you probably haven't got a clue what's going on here, but there's definitely something that's probably a bit different than what you're used to. And then I just explained to her that, like, there is a God that wants her to come towards him. And we just prayed for her and we asked her if she wanted to, you know, ask the Lord to come into her life. And she said yes. And we prayed for her. And that night she commissioned.
Amazing. Amazing. So, like, I don't know what that does for you this morning, right? But when we talk about living a life of faith and risking young people making us feel uncomfortable, you know, young people leading their friends to Jesus without any help of a leader, yeah. Young people bringing their friends to church to hear about God. I couldn't tell you the last time I brought someone that isn't a Christian to church. I have a young person here saying he's brought like 6 or 7 of his mates to church. That makes me feel uncomfortable. That level of boldness that they have, I want. And so, we just pray that God continues to move in your lives and continues to bless you as you are being raised up as these mighty soldiers for him. So give these guys a round of applause. So the prayer ministry team are going to come up and we have some of our young people on prayer ministry this morning. And if you want some of that fire that these young people are carrying for God, what Joel and Casey have just been talking about, and I want that, I'm going to get them to pray for me, then we're going to leave some space here at the end for prayer ministry. And there's going to be, so guys, come on up with Tara. You guys are on this morning. If you want young people to pray for you, just come and respond. This is a great opportunity just to receive. And this isn't tokenistic, right? This isn't just, a young person's going to pray for you. I genuinely believe what some of these guys are carrying, God wants to replicate in us. And so, I don't know if the band want to come up or if we can throw some music on with a couple of minutes here just to respond. So why don't you jump to your feet? We'll respond together. I'll pray and we'll leave some space for people just to move and get some prayer ministry. There's prayer ministry at the front and at the back as well. If you want to respond and receive prayer, that would be great. So, Father God, we just come before you this morning, and God, we just want to thank you, God, for all of the young people that you have placed in our church family, God. We thank you for each and every one of them, Lord God, regardless of where they're at in their faith journey. We thank you for them, and we thank you that you pursue them and that you love them and that you have an amazing plan for each of them, God. And we just pray for us this morning, God. I pray that we would actually take up this mantle, God, that we would take responsibility for the young people in our sphere of influence, God. Give us a passion, give us a hunger to invest and to pass on faith that we want to see replicated in this next generation. Help us to be a people that burn for you, God. Help us to be a people that pray for the next generation, that intercede for them, Lord God, and pray them into the kingdom. Help us to be a people that prioritize relationship even over programs, that we would mentor, we would invest, we would speak life into these young people, that we would pray for them, Lord God. And so I pray for some of those statistics that we've heard. As that struck our hearts this morning, would that propel us into action? God, that this stuff matters. And give us your heart for these young people. Give us your heart for them. And we pray, would you break our hearts for them this morning? And would you give us that longing to see a move of God in this generation, in our time, and in our day? We long for a story like the Hebrides revival. Widespread revival breaking out in a generation. We believe you can. So we come to you in prayer. We cry out to you, God, for this generation. And we pray that what they're carrying would be imparted into us. That we would become a people that divorce ourselves from the distraction of this world and live a life that would please you and honor you and glorify you and make you known in our town, in our nation, in our world. So have your way in us this morning. In
Jesus' name. Prayer ministry at the back, prayer ministry at the front. Let's receive prayer from these soldiers of young people this morning.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. For more information about our church and all that we do, please visit our website at emmanuel-church.co.uk.